and a function describe the contact, the contract between NTA and ICANN regarding IANA, and then this SAC69, which is the ESSAC recommendations to the operational communities and specifically the NAMES community on what they should include in their proposal, in the proposal that they are submitting to the ICG. SAC 70 is an advisory on the use of static TLD and public suffix list, was released 29th of May. Then we have SAC 71, that is the comments on the CCWG from ESSAC that we released on 8th of June. So that was the first open consultation that the CCWG was running. And then yesterday we released SAC 72, which is the ESSAC evaluation of the CWG stewardship or the CWG NAMES proposal. The SAC 72 is an evaluation of the CWG proposal, is an evaluation according to SAC 69. So what we did was that we took the proposal CWG NAMES, we took SAC 69, and then we simply compared whether the proposal is fulfilling all our requirements. And the result of that is that we approve the CWG NAMES proposal, and that was something that we did yesterday. Next slide, please. Next. And this already described. Next. If we look at where we are regarding milestones, we had a DNSSEC workshop at ICANN 53 yesterday. We released SAC 70, 71, and also 72. We have our plan for the third quarter to give advice on the registrant protection and credential management. We'll talk a little bit about that later. In the fourth quarter, to be ready with advisor on new gTLD program review, and also have a DNSSEC workshop at ICANN 54. Next. Oops. So, advisory on public suffix list, but before that, let me ask if anyone have any questions. Just because we're sitting in the fridge and people want to leave, maybe. So, SAC 70, public suffix list. Next slide, please. So, public suffix is a something that is a domain under which multiple parties can register domain names. If we look at, for example, how it was historically in the UK, people register under co.uk, not under UK, etc. And there is no programmatic way to know where the actual zone cut is, or even if there is a zone cut, where it's possible to register domain names. Tracking this boundary is a little bit tricky, but there is an interest of tracking the boundary for various different kind of things, for example, for certificates, for cookies, and other kind of things. So you don't want, for example, to in a browser to be able to set a cookie for a complete top-level domain or for the whole domain where people can do registrations. Next slide, please. So to be able to know where this zone cut is or where these bound administrative boundaries are, there is something called public suffix list created, and that is sort of configuration information that informs, for example, browsers on where these boundaries are. So what we were looking at in ESSAC is that we were looking at, for example, what these suffix lists are used for, and we do see that, among other things, we see that they're used for cookie settings, SSL certificates, navigability, TLD validation, domain highlighting in the browser, and a few other kind of things. There are multiple of these public suffix lists, and they include slightly different information. They have different syntax, and the browsers are using these in different ways. So you see, this is just a few examples of the use case description and what applications are using this feature. So you see that there's also a difference between the different browsers, for example. Next slide, please. So one example is that when a user in the only one input window in Google Chrome enter nick.allfinance, in that case you actually end up on that web page. Well, if you type it in Apple Safari, and both of these are sort of current versions, if you type it into Apple Safari, Safari don't understand that it is a domain name and sends the user to the Google search page. So this is just one example of different result when the same input is given in the two browsers. Next slide, please. So what we found is that there is inconsistency and also compromise between the convenience of use and accuracy of its contents. There is no consensus definition of what public Suffolk list is, what it actually should contain, how people should use that data, etc. It's also the case that we see a lack of accountability mechanism for ensuring that the PSL that PSLs are produced in a consistent, fair, and unbiased manner. And it's also the case that there is a knowledge gap between registries and others that set the policy that is expressed in the public suffix lists. And because of that, because end users' applications use the different public suffix list and in different ways, the end user result is pretty sort of not really harmonized and creates surprise. On top of that, or one of the reasons might be that there is no universal library or framework or tool each developer and programmer is implementing the use of PSLs in whatever way they want themselves. Next, please. It's also the case that even though people know that public suffix lists exist and a change in policy is to be implemented, there's also a great difference in what time it takes to get that policy change, for example, implemented and distributed using the different public suffix lists. Even though the Mozilla public suffix list is the most dominant one that most people use, there are a multitude of others, and that is something that is also creating a little bit of a problem. On the other hand, there is also a reason why there are multiple public suffix lists, because they have different they are used for different things. So it may be difficult to actually create a one-size-fits-all public suffix list for all audiences covering any applications and usage. On the other hand, there is a lot of data that actually is shared and is the same or supposed to be the same in all public suffix lists. Next slide, please. So we have a couple of recommendations, and they include, of course, a lot of development activities. We recommend that IETF should standardize PSL alternatives, and the Debound working group, for example, is looking into these things. It would also be good if people actually agree on what is meant by public suffix list and other sort of other terminology that is used around these issues. We do believe that ICANN and the Mozilla Foundation can do a better job on informing, for example, TLDs and others that are described in public suffix list on the existence of public suffix list and how to make changes. We also believe that ICANN could encourage the software development community to develop and distribute programming and operating system libraries for PSLs. One can see this as part of a collaboration that we would like to see between ICANN and the Mozilla Foundation on simply getting a much better environment for the developers of software and the developers of policies around what is described in public suffix lists. Next slide, please. We also hope and encourage application developers to do simple things like, for example, agreeing on a canonical file format and some modern authentication protocols, so people can actually validate that the public suffix list is the one that is intended to be used. We propose that IANA should host a public suffix list that contains information about the domain and the domains that IANA have direct contact with. because IANA is really the registry for TLDs and for the basic minimal information that IANA is collecting. They could as well run a public suffix list with that information that, if interested, other public suffix lists could bootstrap their work and their lists with the information from IANA in as a way of getting at least some information be the same all across the various public suffix lists that exist in the world. It's also the case that we think ICANN explicitly should include the use and actions related to public suffix list as part of the work that ICANN already is doing related to universal acceptance. Because even though public suffix list is by far not the only issue with universal acceptance, it is a piece in the puzzle that needs to be taken seriously. Next slide, please. Is there any questions on public suffix lists? Okay. Next document, SAC 71. Next slide, please. So once again, the ESSAC Charter says that ESSAC advises the ICANN community and board on matters related to the security and integrity of the Internet's naming and address allocation systems. That is what we are chartered to do, and we have had quite a large number of discussions within ESSAC and also with ICANN board and others on how to interpret this charter. We have found that there are, for example, two things which are not in scope. The first one is that we are not, for example, making any advice or sort of overlooking ICANN's own IT systems. We are looking at the only at the naming and address allocation systems. Of course, for them to work, it might be the case that ICANN or other organizations that manage these identifiers do it in a certain way, and it might be the case very well that we are investigating because of that reason what ICANN and other organizations do. But we have a good relationship with ICANN IT and security team, but we are definitely not overlapping, and we have discussions every meeting with them to make sure that we're not sort of walking on each other, stomping on each other's feet. The second important thing is that ESSAC has not been given, and we have not sought any standing for the advice other than that we try to create advice of very high quality. And we also think that it's a good thing that whoever we recommend do things, that they evaluate the recommendation of ours based on the quality of our report, so that the whoever we recommend do things, that they have the ability of to put it bluntly, ignore what we are saying. We see that as a strength. It forces us to write good reports, come with precise recommendations, explain why it's important to follow the recommendation, and that is how we also measure our result. We are keeping track of how people reference our recommendations. We are specifically, together with ICANN and ICANN board, working on tracking specifically the advice that we are giving to ICANN board. Next slide, please. Because of the charter, and we don't really work with organizational structure or architecture or those kind of things. So we simply cannot comment at this point in time on the legal structure that might be needed for ICANN. We are a little bit concerned also that the proposed membership model that was proposed in at least what the CCWG was talking about a week ago or two, a little bit nervous that if it is the case that that is imposed on us, that it might change the way we operate and we need to reform ourselves. Next slide, please. As a follow-up to us being nervous of us being forced to do work in a different way, we do expect and hope that the community will, at the end of the day, choose a structure for ICANN and us and otherwise that recognize the role and importance of expert advice on security and stability. It is also the case that the bylaws of today include as the first bullet the importance of security and stability issues. It is proposed that it is to be that point is to be a commitment in the Articles of Association So what we do see a trace of that being important in those sort of nice texts, but it's also important that that is followed up by an organizational structure, ICANN as a whole, that actually makes it possible for ICANN to live up to those goals. It's nice to have a mission for an organization, but it's also pretty damn good to be able to deliver. And then we just reserve the right to make additional comments in the future if it is the case that we find that being needed. Next slide, please. Is there any questions on that? We can also, we don't have any slides on SAC 72, but we are happy to answer questions on SAC 72 as well. Okay. So, Ben, do you want to do this? I think it's much better if you do than I do it. So we do have a work party on registrant protection and credential management, and Ben Butler and Merrick Ikeo are the ones that are leading that work. We have other SAC members being active, and just because Ben happened to be here, I hand it over to you, please.
Good morning. Apologies on behalf of Merrick Ikeo, who could not be at this meeting. What we are working on right now is a follow-up to some previous recommendations made in past SAC documents, specifically SAC 40 and 44, relating to trying to identify best practices around protecting registrants' data and credentials as they log in to manage their domains. We feel that there has been a persistent increase in the negative consequences of poor credential management in the registrant, registrar, and registry authentication space. And so we felt it was an opportune time to present more specific, more targeted, and more operational recommendations that would help to the registrant and registrar and registry communities to better secure the potentially valuable assets that are their domain names. We have been working rather quickly to try and get this information published because we recognize the need for it within these communities. We are working very closely currently with the registrar and registry stakeholder groups so that as we identify common practices in play now, that we are representing a consensus view of what people are actually doing. That will help us to identify the shortcomings or the shortfalls of things that could be done relatively easily and would give us the biggest impact in the domain name space to help protect against domain name hijackings in the form of unauthorized transfers between registrars, as well as other problems that we're seeing, like malicious A records being created within the customer account.
We do have more slides. We just realized you're not saying next slide. So
I didn't realize we had slides. I apologize for my lack of informed nature.
That was a very impressive introduction, and that was my reaction. Next slide, please.
Okay, so we're going to be able to blow through these slides relatively quickly. As I said, we're augmenting the previous slides. Our target audience is the wider ICANN communities, registrars, registries, registrants, everyone in the kitchen sink, essentially, within this namespace. Next slide, please. We will address credential lifecycle in its entirety, the distributing, storing, renewing, revoking, and recovering name credentials, as well as transfers. We feel that what is within scope of this document is potentially all credentials used to authenticate an identity of a registrant or a registrar or a registry, those relationships between those the three R's, as some of us call them, can get very complicated depending on the particular TLD and registrar and registry involved. So we're trying to be sensitive to all that confusion. We're also trying to include any relevant policy issues that can support or hinder credential management in general in this space. Next slide, please. As I mentioned, we feel that the problem is that there have been numerous recent attacks, compromises of high-profile domains that we've all been seeing in the past 18 months to 2 years in particular. And as recently as probably last night, I didn't do a particular search for the information, but they're ongoing. We want to look at credential use. How are they being used? What things are being used to validate people's identities, and how we can do better at it. We want to create a practical checklist so that operational teams within registrars and registries can go down the list and see where there are things that they can do better. Next slide, please. We began this work in Q1, Q2. We developed initial drafts. We began consulting with the larger registrar and registry community at ICANN 52, and again at this ICANN 53 meetings. It is our intention to develop a final draft and publish a document well in advance of the Dublin meeting. So stay tuned for that. Next slide, please. What we're specifically asking for right now is sections 4 and 5 of our document, the use of credentials and how the current credential lifecycle management takes place within the registrar and registry community. We've asked specific questions on issues and problems people have encountered with some of the basic security countermeasures that they might be able to employ, such as multi-factor authentication, backup and storage of credentials, distribution, and that sort of thing. And we also want to try and identify areas where there might be tools or software development that would aid in the credential security and management areas so that the operationalizing of our recommendations can be more easily applied. And we want to make sure that we're being sensitive to solutions that are scalable both for small registrars as well as large registrars and registries. Next slide, please. And back to Patrick. Questions?
Yes.
Sorry. Any questions? Back there?
Hi. My name is Christian Hesselman. I'm with SIDN.NL Registry. Perhaps it's out of scope, but are you guys also considering, information exchange between registries and registrars, for example, when a registrar gets hacked?
So that, yes.
Okay, that's also included.
That is absolutely within
all right,
scope.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. Thank you.
Steve, right behind you.
thanks, Wendy Seltzer, W3C. And I'd be interested in seeing what you're working on, and to the extent that these are web-based credentials, W3C have some work getting started around web authentication and improving that beyond the username password to two-factor authentication.
Excellent, thank you.
Multi-factor.
Patrick Jones, just a brief mention that ESSEC also submitted a workshop proposal for the Internet Governance Forum in November around this topic, and it was accepted. So the document will probably be of use to the IGF participants for that meeting, too.
Yes, and I think I'll take the liberty of speaking for America. I believe she will be at that meeting to help go over our findings at that point. Any other questions, comments, snide remarks, general insults? Thank you. Back to you, Patrick.
Thank you very much, Ben. So the last portion of our meeting, just like we normally do, is that we talk about how we interact. Next, please. And the normal questions that we get is this week, just like others, people asking what we're doing, why we're doing it, how do we prioritize, etc. So the new work that we are prioritizing is based on basically what we think is the most important at the moment. We are, this week, we have been discussing creating one or two new work parties. And what has happened this week is that we've been trying to talk with the community and hear what they think is important. The two areas that we are looking at the moment, one is related to CPs and the quality or low quality of software in CPs. The other one we're looking at is misuse of IPv4 address space, or more specifically, that people use IP address space that is allocated for other parties, but not really, but not announced by the address space holder. So any kind of input we would like to get here from the community, what you want us ESSAC to work on and look at. I got a question just before this ESSAC meeting whether ESSAC is going to look into the output from the label generation panels for IDNs. There are certain issues related to specifically a high risk for a combinatorial explosion of variants to be allocated in the namespace. And the question is whether ESSAC is going to look into that. So those kind of questions and that kind of input from the community is very valuable when we are doing the prioritization. But the prioritization is something that ESSAC members do internally. One could say that we vote, even though we're not doing voting. We are tracking the board's response by following how the board has taken our advice into account and how that is implemented. We have tried to use one issue tracker that we have been using together with ALAC. It was a little bit troublesome to use that. And on top of that, we started to use the tracker without really knowing what process we're going to use for the advice. So what we have done together with ICANN lately is that we have been working on actually looking at the process for how ICANN receive our advice. And as a second step, we are looking into better ways than Excel charts to Excel sheets to keep track of that process. The process itself is almost ready and defined, and that's a very important step for us, specifically given the suggestions in, for example, the CCWG accountability to implement the HRT2 recommendation that ICANN board must take formal advice from the advisory communities into account. The way we inform the community of its work is by, of course, publishing the recommendations. We publish the presentation that you just saw with our milestones, the current activities, and also by having these meetings. We also meet other groups in the ICANN community during the meeting week of ICANN and answer whatever questions they have and also inform them of the work that we do. It's also the case that we this week met with the ICANN board. It's something we have not done for a while, and that is something that we from ESSAC side found being very useful. We are still to sit down with together with Rama or Liaison to the ICANN board and see how to make that those meetings even more effective. Next slide, please. Questions that we would like to ask the community that we would like to get feedback on, and we have started to get some feedback because we are repeating these questions so people actually start to answer them, which is good. We would like to know how people feel the documents are written. Are they well written? Are they hard to understand? If you are a targeted if you are the target of a recommendation, do you think the recommendations are clear? If you are not the target of a recommendation, do you understand what is expected of the recommendation, of the organization we ask to do something? Is the level of detail correct? Do you understand the findings? Should we expand more on the details? Do we write too much text? We have got extremely good feedback on, for example, SAC50, that I think was 2 pages of real document and then a preamble. Everyone really liked that document, but of course, it's also, first of all, it's really hard work to write a short document, as we all know. But on top of that, there's also risk that we take for granted that the reader do understand the context within which we are doing our work. We also would like to get a feedback whether you believe that the publications reach the audience. And for this public suffix list, we are now, for example, now going to the IGF and having a meeting and try to do an outreach there. And I also would like to say I appreciate the feedback from the W3C, and we should absolutely see what we can do regarding public suffix list issues, but also the credential management issues, and how we could do more, increase the quality, but also get better feedback on those documents from, for example, you. So I appreciate if we could sort of work more on that. We also don't mind, of course, feedback on what we can do differently to help you better, because the whole goal, our charter, is to give advice and help you in the community. And then the last thing, of course, is to get to know what is missing from the list of work parties. We do have the ability to produce between 4 and 8 documents a year, and the question is, of course, what should we do the next year? What is important? It takes about half a year to produce a document. Some work parties take longer time, some shorter, but I would say half a year of effective time, and then, of course, it takes some while to start and end the work itself. Next slide, please. Please, Dan.
Dan York, Internet Society. 2 comments. One was on the CPE work that you're doing, or that you're looking at doing. Is that to understand? I guess I'm just curious more about what are you looking at it in terms of? Is that around DNS resolvers on the environments, or what are you trying to do?
We don't know. That's part of the whole work.
That's fair.
Okay, so Warren is the one that should answer this question, but in general, in general, I think the finding is that we think that many of the CPEs actually suck, and because of that, we try to see whether we can do something and recommend people to do something, whoever we are going to say, whoever we are supposed them, we ask them to do, to decrease the amount of suckery. It's sort of that easy. But Warren?
Yeah, what he said. I think largely sort of just to raise awareness of the issues, understand the issues, see if there's any way that we can change the sort of landscape so that it becomes easier for people and attractive for people to make CP that sucks less.
But to be clear, this is exactly the kind of feedback we want, because these are work parties that are not started yet. And one question I ask as the chair, as sort of a measurement whether we should start a work party, is basically to ask whoever wants to do work. Like I asked Warren in this case, which is sort of, at the moment he's holding the flag, it might like wander around, we'll see what happens. I asked Warren, so to be able to start the work party, can you just come up with some kind of idea of what we should ask whom to reach what effect? And if that question cannot really be answered, the question is whether we should do something, because of course we can publish a document just saying, right, oh, run for the hills, the world is sort of crashing. But it's much more effective if we actually can give advice that have some impact.
Well, yeah, I ask. I mean, I guess part of my direction or part of my suggestion around that would be, I mean, you know, we see a real issue with CPEs that have embedded DNS resolvers. And, you know, one of the challenges we've seen from the DNSSEC space is certainly getting those things to turn on validation or to have validation in general. The next part of that, of course, is having validation and then having updated validation with new algorithms. And I think, you know, the degree to which I think the biggest problem with CPEs is people buy them from their local electronics store, you know, put them into their or get them from their, you know, from their ISP, and then they never update them. They never do anything like that, and they just sit there for years until they get to be old and decrepit. But anyway, second point, though, Patrick, on a suggestion around a topic, was that we had a discussion yesterday in the DNSSEC workshop around this whole area around upgrading new algorithms within DNSSEC. And specifically, we're looking at ECDSA and the pieces, the places that that touches all across across the environment, you know, ranging from validators that need to be updated, but also authoritative software. Registrars need to update their GUIs for accepting DS records and things like that. Registries need to agree to accept DS records and new algorithms. And there's a number of different pieces like this. Russ Housley brought up that the IAB has a document that's in the end of its process. It's going toward last call around crypto agility. And it would be, I think, an interesting piece of work for SSAC to look at the idea of, you know, what would it take to, or what are the processes that need to be dealt with within the larger DNS community to upgrade the cryptographic capabilities within the whole environment, for specifically for DNSSEC in this case, but in general. And part of why this comes into is, again, just for the efficiency of the system, better security, you know, smaller packet sizes, all of the pieces that, that fit in there. But I would suggest that as a possible topic of work.
Thank you. Any SSAC member that want to comment on that? If not, I'm just going to say thank you very much for that input.
Actually, I was debating saying the same thing Dan did, and I wanted to add
and
to
you
it.
Are?
Ed Lewis. That situation he was talking about, I see. Also, I've seen in looking at universal acceptance last year where the problem came down to being able to enter in identifiers in the new TLD program. I see a general problem with user interfaces restricting what input they allow in, and that hinders our ability to either add more TLDs, add more identifiers out there, add protocols, use some of the other technologies out there. I think that's a wider problem than just the DNSSEC and the crypto agility. It's a widespread problem with user interfaces that we really haven't addressed it. Contact management systems, I think, was what I was tracking down. Those developers are the ones that need to be informed that there's less need for certain types of type checking they've been doing, and it's overly aggressive. So,
thank you very much for that. The one thing that we are, of course, looking at before we decide to start to do some work is whether whatever issue people see do fall within SSAC charter. So the question is, and we have been discussing a little bit universal acceptance issues, and the question always comes back to, does it really have it? What kind of impact does whatever problem people point out have on the security and stability of the identifiers? And the question is whether usability falls in there. But this is a discussion we are coming back to over and over again, so it might be the case that we should look more into that. Thank you. And please introduce yourself.
Okay. My name is Hiro from cctld.jp and a member of the Root LGR project. And Patrick, you mentioned about the IDN variants, possible explosion of the number of variants which will be allocated as an TLD. So as I said, I'm involved in the LGR project, especially about IDN variants. And how have you come to know about the possible massive allocator variants? Maybe how do you, or how have you found that such issues is the issue? And we think we understand those issues from our aspects, but I don't know whether our perception of such issue is sufficient or not. So we, of course, inform you if we think there are issues regarding security and stability. I wonder, such communication cannot be formalized between you and the community like us. So, but we need to communicate when we have wonders. So how do you think we can communicate about such issues?
Well, it is always possible for any for anyone to send a question to SSAC. That's how communication is happening. So the only organization, we do have a connection explicitly with a few groups. We have a liaison to the board. We have a liaison to ALAC. But apart from that, we do communicate. Oh, yes, and then we have also ICANN staff from ICANN security team that is also participating in the work of ESSAC. But apart from those very limited connections that we do, anyone can ask us any kind of question, which means that it is possible for either one of the panels or the integration panel to send us a question if that is something that they want to do, and then we'll see how we respond. Regarding the work with the variants, ESSAC have already made a couple of statements where we have pointed out, for example, how important it is to have one and only one set of variant rules for the root zone, because that we only have one of those. But we don't, for example, say that all of those rules need to be there at the same point in time. But what is created is forward compatible if it is the case that list is created incrementally. If it is the case that there is any other specifics in that case, a question have to be asked us. So this is, for example, what the discussion was about this morning. Is there anything that ESSAC could look at regarding various issues? So anyone can bring up anything with us. Thank you.
I would just comment, Dan York, again, on your point about the IPv4 squatting issue or people misusing it. I think that's only going to get much worse right now. If people are not aware, Aaron is about to run out of IPv4 addresses in North America, probably like tomorrow.
Thank you very much. We agree on that, and we also think the situation will become worse. We had a discussion in the meeting with ICANN board about not specifically the misuse of IP addresses, but if IPv4 addresses are moved around more than what it is now and misused more than what it is now, they will, from our perspective, we do believe, and we had a discussion with ICANN board about this, there might be an increased interest from law enforcement to get authoritative data of who actually holds a certain IP address at each point in time. This is something that, of course, is discussed in the RARs, in their respective sort of policy groups. But from our perspective, we think that ICANN is in a very special situation, that ICANN do already have lots of experience of working with law enforcement regarding who is related issues. And that knowledge that ICANN have is something that, from our perspective, in one way or another, maybe can help the RIRs, because we believe that the same kind of request from law enforcement and interest of accuracy in who is something that might come up there as well. At the moment, this, of course, was the conclusion of the discussion with the board, is that so far that information is transferred by having individuals participating both in the ICANN process and the RIR process. But it was a heads up for both the board and also for us and ESSAC that maybe it is the case that we have to sort of do something, some information work together. But there was no conclusion. It was just a discussion. So, yes, we are looking very much into the end game of IPv4. Anything else? Any ESSAC member that would like to bring up something? In that case, thank you very much for today. I give you back 11 minutes of your valuable time, and see you in Dublin.